The United States Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit is now open and in session. God save the United States and this honorable court.
Our first case for argument today is 21-1045, Smith-Montanez v. McDonoghue. Please proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor, and may it please the court. 38 CFR Section 3312C3 provides important process to the survivors of our country's fallen military veterans. C3 requires the Department of Veterans Affairs carefully to consider as a contributory cause of a veteran's death any service-connected disease, quote-unquote, involving active processes affecting vital organs. What Ms. Smith-Montanez seeks is a per se rule of reasonableness. She argues that when a U.S. military veteran dies while having compensably service-connected hypertension, that per se raises a reasonable possibility that C3 applies when a survivor claims the veteran's death was service-connected.
Mr. Niles, this is Judge Prost. So I guess maybe that's your answer to my question. My question went to the fact that the board found that the veteran's service-connected hypertension did not cause or contribute to death, and the Veterans Court reached the same conclusion. So I have had a hard time figuring out how this factual determination is eligible for review. So is your answer somehow related to the fact that you want us to interpret a reg as a legal matter to have a per se rule?
Yes, Your Honor. This case is fundamentally about process, where what 312C3 provides is this careful consideration, and the board is under a legal obligation to address all potentially applicable regulations. And so what Ms. Smith-Montanez seeks is this per se rule of reasonableness, saying that when a U.S. military veteran, again, dies while having compensably service-connected hypertension, that you have this at least reasonable connection to the disease involving active processes affecting vital organs.
Counsel, this is Judge Moore. Did you raise 3312 and this careful consideration provision before the board?
No, Your Honor. Ms. Smith-Montanez at that point was proceeding pro se, and there is actually no requirement that a pro se appellant raise an argument to the board so long as the record reasonably raises it. And so to be more precise, perhaps, the legal rule that she is speaking is a per se rule of reasonableness about the record raising this issue, that when the record shows the military veteran died of being compensably service-connected for hypertension, then the board must address whether 312C3 applies.
Why,
and her contention?
Counsel, can you explain to me how it is that you think the record raised entitlement such as the board should have been on notice?
Yes, Your Honor. And I'd like to do that by highlighting her argument on the ordinary meaning of the terms or the words in C3 phrase involving active processes affecting vital organs. And I think it'd be helpful to look at those words in reverse orders, starting with this vital organ, which is here the heart. And there can be just no dispute that the heart is necessary or pertaining to life, and so is a vital organ. And so then moving backwards from there to the word affecting, well, VA recognizes in its schedule for rating disabilities that hypertension is a disease of the heart. Hypertension is high arterial blood pressure, and it increases one's risk for heart disease. And so then moving backwards from there to involving active processes, and this, I think, maybe speaks more directly to your question, having a compensable rating evaluation for hypertension signifies that the veteran has hypertension symptoms that are sufficiently severe that VA has determined that for an average veteran, they would impair earning capacity. And so what she's arguing then is that this at least reasonably raises that this having this compensable hypertension at death, whether the veteran's hypertension is characterized by this activity, this pumping of arterial blood at high pressure, that in turn produces the degeneration or deterioration of the heart. And so then pulling all that together, what she's respectfully submitting is that a veteran's death while having compensably service-connected hypertension per se reasonably raises whether the veteran's hypertension was a service-connected disease involving active processes affecting vital organs.
Mr. Niles, this is Judge Toronto. Can I ask you this? So you've been speaking only of what let's call kind of the first part of the subsection or the paragraph 3 language, and haven't said anything about the part that begins from the viewpoint of whether. As I understood the Veterans Court decision, it was applying the record reasonably raised standard of the Robinson cases and whatnot, and finding that putting aside, it wasn't disputing that a heart problem affects a vital organ, but was saying what the record would have to reveal is some something about the condition being having debilitating effects and general impairment of health to an extent that would render the person materially less capable of resisting the effects of other disease of the primary cause. And on that, it seems right, I guess, to say that the regulation really does require not just the affecting vital organ piece, but this kind of effect on resistance to whatever the primary cause is. And then it found that there was no such thing in the record. So can you address that piece of it?
Happy to, Your Honor. Ms. Smith-Montagna's views C3 or this paragraph 3 as putting out there a sequential analysis, essentially, in terms of whether the record reasonably raises this issue such that the agency must address it. And here I'll pause to say that a big thrust of our argument here is that the court was doing too much work, that this ultimately is a question that once the C3's applicability is reasonably raised, really needs to go back to the agency for it to determine in the first instance.
Well, just to put the point perhaps a little more concisely, why isn't it true that the record does not reasonably raise this unless there's something in the record that actually does suggest that this heart problem, the vital organ problem, produces this systemic weakening that renders the veteran materially less capable of resisting the primary cause?
Well, and her argument is about process, where so long as the veteran had died of a compensatory service-connected hypertension, that then reasonably raises whether 3312C3 applies, and the board had to then say something about it. Where I understand, and I'll pause here to say that I understand that what the Veterans Court concern was that not whether there was anything in the broader administrative record that would meet this after the comma or this debilitating effects language, but rather what was put in the record of proceedings to the Veterans Court when Ms. Smith-Montagna was concentrating on this first step of what she sees as the two-step analysis, the first step being where the board erred in not addressing the regulation's applicability. And so what she is asking is that the matter go back to the board and, if necessary, back to the agency of original jurisdiction at the agency to then make that determination for everything, the debilitating effects after the comma language. Respectfully submitting that when a U.S. military dies while having compensably service-connected hypertension, that per se raises a reasonable possibility of C3 applying. The Veterans Court, she understands, held contrary to that. She respectfully requests reversal and remand for proceedings that would be consistent then with this per se rule of reasonableness that she is requesting. And I would ask to reserve the remainder of my time unless Your Honors have any further questions.
No problem, Mr. Niles. We'll reserve it. Ms. Fleming, please proceed.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. Your Honor, though the petitioner's argument has evolved today to seeking a per se rule, up to this date, the petitioner's focus has been on the regulatory interpretation. However, their argument that the regulation was misapplied by the Board and later the Veterans Court is based on an underlying premise that, in fact, there was evidence before the Board that should have been enough to persuade it to consider in more detail hypertension as a contributory cause of death. However, as the Court has pointed out, the Board did, in fact, expressly consider whether hypertension was a cause of Mr. Bunker Soler's death. Based on this experience, the Board determined and the Veterans Court affirmed that Ms. Smith-Montanez did not submit enough evidence to overcome the fact that Mr. Bunker Soler's hypertension was rated at only 10%, that it was a condition that was static for almost 20 years, and that it was not identified as a contributory cause of his death on his death certificate. As a result, essentially this case is about the weight that the Board gave to those facts when it considered whether hypertension was a contributory cause of Mr. Bunker Soler's death, and so it is a factual determination and should be considered beyond the jurisdiction of this Court. However, even if the Court concludes that Ms. Smontanez is right and the case requires interpretation of 3.312C3, we would argue there is no violation of the regulation's plain meaning. First, because the language does not clearly require careful consideration when no evidence was submitted to show Mr. Bunker Soler's hypertension actually affected his vital organs. Now, I believe Judge Moore asked Mr. Niles about this issue, and he didn't actually explain beyond the fact that hypertension was diagnosed how that condition affected his vital organs. In fact, what he said in oral argument and in the brief for Ms. Montanez was that hypertension creates, quote, a risk of heart disease, which is a risk of an effect on the vital organs and not actual evidence of any such effect. Therefore, there could not have been any effect on his vital organs proven, nor was there any showing that that effect rendered the veteran less capable of resisting his primary cause of death.
Which was what again?
There were three causes listed on his death
right,
certificate,
was,
Your Honor.
Right, there was a septic shock, renal failure, and what was the first one?
Acute respiratory distress syndrome.
And you don't think hypertension might weaken the body to make acute respiratory syndrome harder to resist?
Your Honor, I think there's no evidence in the record that hypertension did make acute respiratory syndrome harder for the veteran to resist in this case. He had it, again, for 20 years. So between his diagnosis and the time he unfortunately died of acute respiratory distress, the hypertension was not a factor in any other similar condition that was raised with the Board. So there's no reason to suspect that, in fact, hypertension was actively affecting his vital organs at all, much less making his the condition on which he eventually died worse or making him less able to resist it.
Just to be clear, you don't mean literally that the heart problem that is hypertension was not affecting the heart, which is a vital organ? That can't be right.
Well, Your Honor, the fact that hypertension affects the arteries is and increases the blood pressure is a fact. That's a diagnostic criteria. But whether it actually affected the operation of his heart in a meaningful way, that is, rendering him less able to resist disease, is entirely unknown.
It just seems to me there's a rather important difference between what's happening in the first half of that sentence of paragraph 3 and what's required by the second half. And it seems to me the principal point has to be here about the second part of the sentence, not the first part.
That's fair, Your Honor. I do agree that that is the more persuasive argument. I think, though, that there is a reality that millions of people have hypertension and control the condition. And while it is controlled, one could certainly argue it isn't actively affecting one's vital organs. And there is no evidence that that kind of effect happened for Mr. Bunker Solar. But even if the court is skeptical of the absence of such an effect, it's indisputable that there's been no evidence submitted that his hypertension actually rendered him less capable of resisting any of the conditions that were the cause of his death.
Do we get to that point if, because, you know, I think skeptical would be a minimal way that I would put it in terms of how I feel about whether hypertension has any effect on a vital organ. So if the first part is met, at that point, doesn't the board have to give careful consideration and, you know, that's what they're asking for here? So do we even get to the second part? I mean, in this case, do we get to the second part? If there's a service-connected disease like hypertension that involves active processes that affect a vital organ like the heart, then there has to be careful consideration given. We don't know if there's any care. And careful consideration is to everything that comes after. But we don't know if there was careful consideration given, do we?
Well, I would say first, Your Honor, that I would disagree that the careful consideration is required unless the evidence suggests or the petitioner argues before the board that there were debilitating effects and general impairment of health that would render the veteran materially less capable of resisting the effects of other diseases. So therefore, you know, the language, which is one sentence in the regulation, should be read completely. And, you know, contrary to Mr. Niles's petition before the court, he's suggesting essentially reading into the regulation a multi-step test or a series of elements, an if-then clause that, in fact, does not exist in the regulation. Rather, in one sentence, the regulation discusses active processes, effects on a vital organ, and to measure the effect on the vital organ logically includes some barometer of that, which is whether there were debilitating effects, that language. So our position is that that language has to be read in tandem with the effect on vital organs to be meaningful, and it's only once that standard has been reached that any duty of careful consideration applies.
So is it, I guess maybe I'm confused. I thought that the extent to which they render a person materially less capable of resisting is sort of the standard for whether they are a contributory cause of death. Am I wrong about that? Or you think the second part, the general impairment of health, debilitating effects, you think that part goes to whether they even get careful consideration, or is that the standard to which careful consideration should be applied?
Your Honor, I do think that language actually is what must be met before the veteran is entitled to careful consideration, or the court must carefully consider the service-connected condition as a contributory cause of death. And in this case, there are other parts of this regulation that speak to what the standard for a contributory cause of death is. For instance, under 3.312C1, it defines contributory cause of death and sets out the standard as it must have contributed substantially or materially to the cause of death. So the regulation already provides a test for what a contributory cause of death should be. Here, the regulation is discussing what standard must be reached before careful consideration is due, and that is the language that we see in this subsection.
Anything further, Ms. Fleming?
Yes, Your Honor. So I would point out again that, in fact, the board actually has considered, with some level of care, the argument that hypertension was a contributory cause of his death. The phrase careful consideration is inherently subjective. And there's no dispute that the board did consider whether hypertension was a cause of his death, and it found it did not. It considered the evidence before them, which again included, a relatively minor rating for hypertension, and really no other information about how that condition affected the veteran or could have contributed to his death. Balanced against that, they considered that the condition had been static for a number of years and that the death certificate did not list the condition as a contributory cause of his death. With those facts, the board reasonably concluded, after some level of care, that, in fact, it was not a factor that substantially contributed to his death. Now,
well, you said they included it under some level of care. What was the level of care? Was it careful?
Well, I think, Your Honor, what I'm suggesting is that the consideration was given, and that whether
it was careful consideration? I mean, that's all. What does that even mean? What is careful consideration as opposed to not careful consideration?
Well, I think that one way of trying to define the difference between those two things is to look at the Schoonover case. Now, this was a case that the Veterans Court considered when the first raising of this issue was made by Ms. Smith-Montanez. And in Schoonover, the Veterans Court looked at a case where the veteran had a rating of 75%, a death certificate that listed his service connection for hypertension as a contributory cause of his death, and determined that the board did not consider hypertension as a contributory cause of death at all, and that was not enough care. And so it did remand in that case. In contrast, in this case, the court determined that there was a much more moderate disability rating, no indication that hypertension was a contributory cause of death. And so, in that case, with the evidence before the board, there was no it did not warrant additional care, that is care more than was already provided. So it's an inherently difficult to define standard. And we think that the best venue to determine what level of care is appropriate to the evidence raised by a case are the board and the Veterans Court, which are the most informed about these cases and the most likely to deal with them. Pardon me, on a day-to-day basis. The weighing of what amount of consideration is due should be left to those bodies. So I would just point out one more thing. The petitioner has focused on whether it's appropriate to consider the severity of the service-connected disability and whether a rating is an appropriate proxy for the severity. And that's, of course, important in this case because Mr. Bunker-Soler's hypertension was rated at the lowest possible rating, that is 10%. However, if you look at specifically 3.312C, the entire subsection reflects the idea of severity and the importance of looking at the rating to determine how severe a disability is. So for instance, in subsection 3.312C1, under contributory cause of death, that particular subset requires it be shown that it contributes substantially or materially and not merely be present. Under subsection 2, specifically, it says generally, minor service-connected disabilities, particularly those of a static nature or not materially affecting a vital organ, would not be held to have contributed to death. So they're basically stating in another subsection of this same regulation that minor disabilities, that is the minor rated disabilities, may not be sufficient for finding the contributory cause of death. And then even within subsection C3, the final sentence of that subsection acknowledges that severity is a key consideration by noting that ratings of 100% are assumed to be severe enough that additional analysis is needed. I hear that my time is about up. If there are no other questions, I'll conclude.
Thank you, Ms. Fleming. Mr. Niles, you have some rebuttal time. Please proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd like to return to the text of C3 because I think that Your Honor should ask questions that do speak more to the linguistics of it than I had initially addressed. And so this is a paragraph that begins by saying, service-connected diseases or injuries involving active processes affecting vital organs should receive careful consideration. You then later in that same paragraph have this phrase, from the viewpoint of whether there were resulting debilitating effects, and it goes on. And the question, I believe what Your Honors were asking, essentially goes to what does this language from the viewpoint of modify? And I would submit that the answer is careful consideration. And so what C3 requires then is that a disease involving active processes affecting vital organs receive careful consideration. And that careful consideration, then the second part of this two-step process that I had been referring to, would be from that viewpoint of debilitation. That final sentence in C3 then speaks to a special case of when the debilitation may be assumed. So again, later on in the analysis, I'll also mention just as an oh-by-the-way point that the government had mentioned that millions of people have hypertension, are controlled for it. This is a rating, though, or a disease for which the rating criteria bake into it the consideration of whether hypertension is controlled. And so it's only after considering this ameliorative effects of that medication that, you know, for her hypertension, that Mr. Bunker Soler's disability still was at a level that required a compensable rating. And with that, I think everything else has been covered in the briefs. And unless Your Honors have any further questions, I will conclude.
I thank both counsel. This case is taken under submission.